The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Leviticus chapters 18 and 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand up against the wife of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of it. You shall not take revenge or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory
to you, Lord. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to tell the story, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And the text of the day is the Good Samaritan. You are not going to come up with something new. And I'd be lying if that didn't bring a certain amount of anxiety admitting that. We live in a society where the pressure is to be relevant. And relevant is defined as new. Telling the old, old story is the quickest way to put people to sleep. At least my kids tell me that. The second thing that brings a bit of anxiety about the Good Samaritan, at least to this Lutheran preacher, is that on first glance, it's primarily about the law. Turn towards the gospel, because that really is the old, old story. But getting the gospel, I think, requires going through the way the story is told through the law. And I see it primarily about the law because the first character introduced is a lawyer. And the lawyer is putting Jesus to the test. His question is, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if you think about that question, it doesn't really make sense. What does anyone do to inherit anything? I suppose you could kill your parents, but that doesn't seem right and would tend to void the inheritance. You could do what the younger brother does in another parable and just say to dad, "Give me my portion." But again, inheritance is a gift. But finally, you don't do anything to get it other than being born to the right person. And at least for a normal inheritance, we don't get to pick who we are born to. Now, for the gospel, we truly don't either. We'll come back to that. The lawyer's question is, "What do I do?" That's the fundamental question of any law. And that is what Jesus' reply to him acknowledges. The law is about doing what is written in the law. "You, my good man," or the lawyer, the expert in the law, "you tell me what it says." And the lawyer responds with what is the standard summary of the law. "Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." Summary of that first table of the law, and "love your neighbor as yourself." Summary of the second table. And Jesus responds to the lawyer's old, old answer that "you have answered correctly." Jesus, the prophet, the messianic candidate and miracle worker, agrees. "Do this. You'll live." In one sense, it really is that simple. Do the law, and you will live. But there's a problem with such simplicity. Does anyone have the strength to do the law? The law itself doesn't give us the power. It just stands there in its simplicity saying, do this. Do it. Keep doing it. Again. Oh, you can't do it? Well, here's your sentence. Death. Alice in Wonderland's Queen of Hearts has nothing on the divine law. If you fail in one part, you fail in all. And the sentence is death. You will not live if you don't keep it. Now, if I was the lawyer asking Jesus this question, my follow-up would have been something along the lines of, well, I can't stand myself. Does that mean that I can be a complete misanthrope to my neighbor? Or I would have tried to admit something like, my heart is a bit like a Grinch, two sizes too small. Does that mean that I don't, not as much as expected towards God? Now, you might think I'm just joking, and I am linking a bit there, but I think those kind of responses would have been closer to the truth, or at least better grounds for limiting the reach of the law, which is what the lawyer is trying to do. But this lawyer wants to litigate, who is my neighbor? That's a very common thing today, Steve. I can't tell you how many times in the recent past I've been told I have to recognize the distinction between friend and enemy. In a world fallen, that has a certain amount of wisdom. If you want to talk about systemic sin, that probably gets you pretty darn close. We fallen creatures don't really choose between good and evil. We're almost always, in our actions, choosing between evil and something slightly less evil. Even such things as good works usually have some breaking of the law as part of it. We don't do them out of the pure charity of our hearts. We're not loving our neighbors as ourselves. Our heart might be with God, but our mind is making calculations about how this action can be of help to me. Or we know that we have to do something. And we may even desire to do something. And so we do it, but our soul and strength just aren't in it. The lawyer wants to limit that law by saying my neighbor is only this small sphere of people who look and think and act just like me. Surely I can love them. Completely forget it. The most intense rivalries are usually between things of very small difference. And so Jesus tells him the parable. No, Mr. Lawyer, your neighbor is not your little clique. Your neighbor is essentially anyone in need that crosses your path. You go and do likewise. Traveler, being an idiot and traveling alone on this notorious brigand road, doesn't disqualify himself from being your neighbor. Religious duty, like the priest surely had, which he couldn't have satisfied if he had touched a dead body, doesn't excuse you from the duty of the law. Safety first. Which was surely what was the Levite was thinking, and is much on our modern excuse lists, does not excuse us from the duty of compassion to our neighbor. Not even the fact that the man is a foreigner and a complete heretic, because the Samaritans were heretic crossbreed second cousins that the Jews didn't associate. Not even that excuses you from being a neighbor. here is the example of the pure good deed of the law. The Samaritan crosses those religious and social boundaries. He helps a man who can do nothing for him. He pays for it himself, and he promises whatever more is necessary, put it on my tab. That is loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the pure good deed. Go and do that, Mr. and Mrs. Lawyers, and you will inherit eternal life. So let's return to our initial conundrum. Who is the only person who truly inherited the kingdom? If your answer is Jesus, the Son, you're correct. The kingdom of God and eternal life belong to the Son. Instead of asking, what do I do to inherit? Let's ask, how are we to be included in his inheritance? Because I don't think we're going to litigate our way. Let's think about that pure good deed. Jesus, who was in the form of God, took on human flesh and became man. Talk about crossing religious and secular boundaries, or social boundaries. Samaritan and Jew are nothing as compared to God and man. Yet Jesus crossed those boundaries for us. We were certainly like the traveler lying beside the road, beaten senseless and near death by the demands of the law. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. Is part of Luther's explanation of the creed. And there's nothing that we have that God needs. Crossing those boundaries, Christ comes to sinners who can do nothing for him and helps us. We're still doing. If we're still moving like the priest and the Levite, Christ is not yet for us. Christ is for the sinner, dead on the roadside, one who has been mugged by the law. Christ paid for this intervention himself. He did it on that cross with his blood. That cross is his money. And that cross are the bandages that he puts on our wounds and by which he delivers us to the innkeeper, delivers us to the church. And that cross has been applied to us in our baptism. Christ does all of this for us by himself. And Christ does not just leave us at the mercies of the innkeeper, or worse, ourselves. He leaves us with this promise. In this meal we're going to share, we have the continuing work of regeneration. In this meal, we have the promise that he will come again one day and eat it with us again. The one and only pure good deed done in history. It's right there. And it was done for you. It was done by Christ, and his deed has given you an inheritance. He has included you in his inheritance that he has received from his Father. That's the old, old story. If you want to be a lawyer about it, you're going to lose that case. But if you're willing to drop the case, the inheritance of all creation is is yours by grace in Jesus. Yes, you should still go and do likewise. That's the pattern and command of our Lord. But you go and do likewise not to receive an inheritance, because it's already yours. Eternal life is yours in Christ. You go because that inheritance of faith is eternal. There's no way you can deplete it. So go tell the robbers to stop stealing and come and eat the good things that are given for free. Amen.